As you look at 1 Corinthians 16 in this passage, I realize that a couple of weeks ago I preached on be strong, and I used 1 Corinthians 16:13 as my text. And one section of the verse that I did not spend a lot of time on was the word quit ye like men, and that's the name of the sermon tonight, is quit you like men. In this passage, when you look, keep your Bible open, when you look at chapter 16, when you look at verse 1, God is using Paul here to pen the book of Corinthians, and he says he's going to touch the area of giving. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Someone said, what's one of the things you do at church? Well, church is one of the places where we give. And so God establishes through Paul here in 1 Corinthians 16, he hits the issue of collection. Then when you go to, he talks about coming to them there at Corinth, and look at verse number 5. He says, now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. And then they look at verse 8, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. So what God was using Paul to say was he's going to be traveling, and you have, if you're looking at the map, you've got Corinth, and then you also have Ephesus across the sea here, and he says, I'm going to be coming through, and he said, I'm going to stay here at Corinth, and then he said, on my way to Ephesus until I'm able to get there. And then look at verse number 9. I'm just going to use these verses here till we get to verse number 13, but watch this. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now notice the first part of the verse. It says, a great door is opened unto me. That phrase is used another time in the Bible in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. I'll read it in just a second. But as Paul traveled, and as he preached and planted churches, he was sensitive to where God would open a door of opportunity to preach the gospel. In Colossians 4:3, it says, with all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. So when you see that phrase, I think this, we should be praying and asking God for opportunities to witness, and that God would give us the right words at the right time, with the right spirit, to the right person, so we can witness effectually. And I think we should always be sensitive to when is God opening a door. When is God says, I brought you here for this time. And I love the statement, people get saved more than just on Tuesday night and Saturday. Right? Right? We ought to be doing soul winning all the time, some of the time, and some of the time, all the time. You need to know also, when you look at verse 9, it says here, as soon as he sees the door that's opened, he said, there are many adversaries. You do need to know this, that once you start witnessing for the Lord and you start soul winning, there becomes adversaries in your life that were not there before. God says in 1 Peter 5, I'll make reference of it in just a second, but God says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Who's the deceiver? Satan is. And Satan says, if you look, you can, it's wonderful what you can do in the Christian life, but you get Satan's attention when you start seeing people saved. And you get rid of him the same way you got his attention. Because when he sees you knocking on doors and getting people saved and you're witnessing and handing out tracts, and then he jumps on your back and he puts the monkey on your back, you stab the monkey by knocking on more doors. Amen? That's a different sermon, but it's very important if you want a reason to quit. Satan will give you one. Satan will give you one. There are many adversaries. Now, in context, Acts 19 speaks of their spiritual opposition. Remember when they went to Ephesus and they were worshiping the temple, the goddess Diana, and they were passing out idols? And then when Paul started influencing the sale of the idols, they got upset. And then the riot happened. Well, same thing will happen here. He says there are many adversaries. Now, when you look at verse number 10, as we're just working our way down here to verse 13, just a second. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh for the Lord, he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. You have the word Timotheus there. All of us know who that is. That is Timothy. But in the new Bibles, in the new versions, they put the word Timothy there instead of Timotheus. Do you know what the difference between Timotheus and Timothy is? Timothy was the name of Paul's son in the faith. This is Timothy and Titus, my son in the faith. These are my preacher boys. But when he became a pastor, they used the formal term of Timothy, which is Timotheus. But the new Bible versions don't have respect for the man of God, or they also don't have respect for God's word. So they'll do what? They'll put Timothy there when it ought to be Timotheus. Why? That's the formal name. It shows respect. And Timothy is now a pastor, and so it's Timotheus. Let's keep on going here. Verse, as you read down here, let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace. Look at verse 13. God now inspires Paul to thank those who have labored with him. He thanks Timotheus, he thanks Apollos in verse 12. Verse number 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. God gives here through Paul four admonitions to be faithful. Four admonitions. Watch ye. He says, watch ye first. The word watch means to be on the alert, to be vigilant, to be on one's guard against danger or surprise. When you are spiritually watchful, that means you are aware that there is a devil. In other words, there's nothing wrong with a Christian when they get saved and they're like, yay, this is so much fun, church, singing, preaching, wow. Yeah, I mean, this is, but you need to snap out of party zone, and you did gain an enemy when you got saved. You gained someone who is trying to destroy you. The thief cometh not but for to what? Steal. He's going to try to steal your joy, to kill, and to destroy. And he's not happy when you're dead. He's happy when you're destroyed and you can no longer serve God. Watch ye, if you're going to be strong, to be faithful. God says, first thing you do is you need to be aware and on guard. In other words, I'm loving our church services. I'm praising God for them. I praise God I have liberty to preach. I'm so thankful. I love the people of our church. But I don't think it's because I'm a pessimist. I think it's because I'm trying to watch. We're having a wonderful time in church. We're getting to see people saved, knocking on doors. It's wonderful. But I also know there's some battles on the horizon. So watch. Be careful. You have an adversary. And God doesn't tell just the pastor to do that. God says, you as a Christian, look spiritually and go, I'm ready. I don't want to get sucker punched. I don't want to get sucker punched. I just read to you, our adversary is the devil. Do you realize this? Satan's job is to deceive. That's his main job. His main job is to get you to see things that aren't there. He is a deceiver. He specializes in smoke screens. That's why it would really help with a Christian if you would pray about things before you do them. It's not, oh, it looks good, I know, but have you prayed about it? I know, but are you asking God, Lord, show me what to do? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And are you aware that if one mistake can change your life forever? One mistake. That doesn't make me paranoid, but it just says, watch ye, be on guard, be aware that you have an enemy. And God says in this admonition to be faithful, he says, watch ye. The next thing he says is stand fast in the faith. Hold your ground in the faith. Stand fast. If I read the Jude verse 3, it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Now, if I'm supposed to stand fast in the faith, and that's 1 Corinthians 16, then I read Jude, and it says, contend or fight or battle for the faith. It would help me if I knew what the faith was. The faith is the doctrine that encompasses the Word of God and salvation. The faith. What are we supposed to be fighting for? What are we supposed to be standing fast? What are we supposed to not be changing? We're supposed to stand fast in the doctrine, first of all, of the local New Testament Baptist church. We're supposed to stand fast. Nothing. There is no replacement for church. There is no substitute for it. Jesus died. You realize Jesus shed his blood for two things: your sins and the local church. That means you cannot diminish the local New Testament church. I can't explain it all. I just know this. There is something God does in a Christian's life when they make church a priority. Amen. When they make it a priority. You gain a protection that you don't have when it's, I don't know if we're going. Is there anything happen? You know, what's on TV? What's on? If you are iffy about church, your life becomes unstable spiritually. Nothing ought to get in the way of church. Yeah, what else is the faith? The faith is the doctrine of the local New Testament Baptist church. The faith is the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith. The faith is the doctrine of the inspired and perfectly preserved Word of God in the King James Bible. The faith is the doctrine of soul winning. I'm all for living a holy life, and people, look, I've only had one person in my life, I've been saved 30 years, and only one person has ever walked up to me and said, "Something's different about you." And literally, they said, "I want what you have." Now, if I left it to lifestyle evangelism to lead people to the Lord, I would have only gotten one person saved. I'm all for living a holy life, and your life should be different, and people should see a difference in you. But God says we're supposed to stand for confrontational soul winning. Amen. We're supposed to ask them, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Let me ask you the most important question you've ever been asked. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity when you die? The doctrine of soul winning. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The doctrine, these are the things of the faith. Stand fast, hold your ground on the faith. Be faithful in the faith. And God tells all of us to do that. I like it when church members are aware of what's going on. What are we doing? What are we standing for? Things aren't changing around here, are they? We're not changing the version of the Bible we're using. We're not changing our music, are we? We're not changing what we do. You mean we don't go soul winning anymore? There ought to be a church member, if that happens, a church member ought to go, "Preacher, didn't you say from the pulpit we're all supposed to be soul winners? How come, what do you mean we're not going out on Tuesday nights anymore? We're not going out on Saturday?" Somebody ought to be raising their hand going, we shouldn't be changing. We're supposed to stand fast in the faith. And you're supposed to enjoy what we stand for as well as myself, as the pastor. God also says, he says, "Quit you like men." I'm going to come back to that. And God, the fourth admonition to be faithful here, God says, be strong. I preached on that a couple of weeks ago. God tells us to be strong. We need to do all we can and use the resources God has given us. Then, when our strength is not enough, we are to be strong in the Lord. God here says, be strong. In Ephesians 6, God says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." So first, we're to be strong. We're supposed to use our own resolve. We're supposed to have grit. We're supposed to have some determination about us. Then, after we've used our resources, then we're to be strong in the Lord and let God make up for what we can't do. There reaches a time in every Christian's life where I don't care how strong you think your character is, you're going to need God. Amen. Your character is important, your self-discipline is important, but it only takes you so far. And there are times in Ephesians 6, God says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." If you're going to be strong in the Lord, you have to use God's armor, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." You can read the rest of that in Ephesians 6. It's the famous armor of God chapter. However, the reason we wear God's armor is the evil day. There's coming a day in every Christian's life where they're going to find out somebody is out to destroy them. And if you don't have your armor on when somebody comes to you and says, "I'm going to destroy you," you'll get bitter. And then you're a casualty. I'm going to church, serving God, going to... Then they have the gall to say they're going to destroy... What in the world did I do? You were serving God. Won't they leave? Don't you realize Satan is using them like God uses you in people's lives? Don't get bitter. It's one of the fastest ways out of service. It's one of the fastest way out of the Lord's army. Be strong in the Lord. Use your resources, then be strong in the Lord. Here God says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. The admonition to be faithful here, quit you like men, is what I want to look at from a scriptural standpoint and from our Baptist heritage as well. When you read the words, quit you like men, the word quit you like men, this calls for faithfulness, okay? The call for faithfulness has always been for every child of God. You say, I hope the ladies aren't saying now, good, they're talking about men, I can take my shoes off and take a nap. Okay, I hope you're not thinking that, okay? This is to every child of God. But the admonition here is for us to be faithful. It's the third admonition. You see, there has always been a need for spiritually minded men who are strong in the faith, who are watching or on guard for the adversary. This is the only time this phrase is used in the New Testament, quit you like men. The phrase is used two times in the Old Testament. And I'll just read it to you. 1 Samuel 4, 9 through 10, the Philistine leaders are telling the warriors, Philistine warriors, not the Israelites, the Philistines are telling their men, be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. And they say it again in the same verse, 1 Samuel 4, 9, quit yourselves like men and fight. When you read this passage, the Philistines here, Israel ends up suffering defeat. The Philistines end up being victorious, okay? And it's because of the charge that they're given here. When you read the word in your Bible, quit you like men, the word doesn't mean anything the way we're used to using it, okay? The word in your King James Bible, we use the word as the word stop and move on to something different. If you quit, then you quit this and you start something else. That is not what this word means. This word quit means to carry through, to do or perform something to the end so that nothing is left to be done. The word quit in your King James Bible means it speaks of the manner in which you finish what you're doing. Let me read it one more time. The word quit means this, to carry through. It means to do or perform something to the end so that nothing is left to be done. That word quit is used six times in the Bible. Obviously, five in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament. The Philistine leaders told their warriors they were to fight as long as there was any fight in them, and if necessary, die in the battle. Quit yourselves like men. Then we read in 1 Corinthians, quit you like men. It speaks of the way you finish what has been placed before you to do. If you're saved, the Lord has given you a goal to strive for until you die. We're all supposed to live for the Lord. We're all supposed to glorify. You are supposed to glorify God until you die. We are to serve the Lord. Romans 6:13 says, neither yield yourselves as members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. I love this phrase. This is underlined in my Bible. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. He raised me. He saved me. He made me alive. What would you do for someone who saved your life? What would you do for someone who took a bullet for you? You say, well, that's easy. I mean, you know, he dived right in front of me. That guy was shooting at me, and he dived and took a bullet. And, man, I mean, I put his picture on my mantle in my house, and I pass that picture, and I think of that guy every day. I'll ask you again, what would you do for somebody that died for you? yield yourselves as servants of righteousness, as those that are alive from the dead. He brought me back. He saved me. And God says we're to serve the Lord like that. We all have that job. We're to live for the Lord until He calls us home. We're to be like Jesus. Jesus gave us the example. Jesus told us in John 9:4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. Only before the Lord Jesus gave His life on the cross, and only then did He say, it is finished. I have finished the work that my Father sent me to do, and I have done it in such a way that there is nothing more that can be done to it. It is finished. Jesus gave us the example of quitting like men. It means to finish well. It means to finish well. I could use the Lord Jesus. I can also give you another scriptural illustration God gives us in the Bible. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, I am now ready to be offered. I'm ready to die. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Paul said, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to quit you like men. I have run hard, and I am finishing well. I am ready. You know, they say Christians can die well because they live well. They say, I'm ready to see, I've worked for God. I'm ready to see my Maker. I'm ready for that. Here, this is a scriptural example of quitting like a man. This is a scriptural example of finishing well. Paul was a servant of God. The Apostle Paul was a servant of the Lord who did what he was saved to do. He wasn't taken out of here with anything left to do. Everything God had placed before him, he did. He was faithful in the battle. He contended for the faith. He stood fast in the face of the enemy. He was always vigilant, and he glorified God in the way that he lived. He finished well. I'm not for the totally for the popularity of the guy that made it popular, but you could say it this way. What's quit yourselves like men mean? It means you got 70 years to get her done. To get her done. Okay, to finish and to work. I've never heard anyone regret serving the Lord. I have heard plenty of people in my lifetime say, "I wish I would have served God. I wish I would have served God. I should have done more." But I've never heard someone say, "You know, I think I was just too holy. You know, I love Jesus just a little too much." I've never heard that. And nobody in here has either, okay? Now, the world only has this place to live for. God's children, those that are saved. You and me should want to be faithful where God has placed us as long as God wants you there. Our Baptist heritage hold examples of this. Let me give you a few. The old Baptist preacher from South Carolina, Lewis Rector, he preached from the mountains to the low country, and then he died at the turn of the century in 1800. He labored and preached and strove to see souls saved. He worked hard. He preached everywhere he could. He asked God for revival and prayed for revival. He wanted to see God move, but God chose not to send revival in Lewis Rector's lifetime. As he was dying, Lewis Rector knew, he said he knew he had been faithful, and he made mention that God was going to send a revival in the near future. Lewis Rector went home to be with the Lord, and 30 years later, God poured out His Spirit in that area in South Carolina, and many souls were saved. God worked in a powerful way and sent revival, and many churches were started. God gave a great harvest. 30 years after Lewis Rector's death, then the preacher John Landrum, who was right in the heart of the revival, he said souls were getting saved who said they had been under conviction for years, a long time. John Landrum said in that revival, they said the name Lewis Rector kept coming up over and over and over again. How long have you been under conviction? 30 years ago, I heard this old preacher preaching. His name was Lewis Rector. John Landrum said Lewis Rector's name kept coming up over and over again. Lewis Rector never saw the fruit of the revival, but God used Lewis Rector to plant the seeds for revival. Lewis Rector is an example of someone who labored and gave his all, never saw the fruit of his labor, but God used him to where he finished well. He finished well. I think as God's people, we should strive to be faithful, to do what God tells us to do, go where God tells us to go, give God's word where God tells us to give it. We may never see the results or the fruit of our labor, but listen, that fruit is God's job. God gives the increase. I'm a vessel. I am supposed to be used for the Lord. What happens? All I need to do, go where God tells me to go, give the tract to who God tells me to, give the gospel to who will listen. But I may not see the fruit of that. Lewis Rector didn't, and God used, I think, him as a beautiful illustration. Quit you like men. Finish well. Our goal is to be faithful so God can use us. I am personally, as a pastor, I'm ashamed of how many people who call themselves Baptists play the lottery. I am shocked. They want instant wealth, instant success. God says gambling is a sin and should never have a part in any Christian's life. Proverbs 28:22 says, "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." God says gambling's wrong. Would you like a lottery ticket, sir? No, I'm a Christian. I don't gamble. And smile at him. No, I don't gamble. I say the same thing when we're at a restaurant. Would you like some of our feature wine? No, I'm a Christian. I don't drink. I'm a Christian. I don't drink. I'm a Christian. I don't gamble. I think being wealthy is not sinful, but money should never consume us, but we should want the will of God more importantly. Amen. The will of God and the work of God take a lifetime and bring more joy than any amount of money can ever give. Let me give you some more men who quit like men. Montabuke Kimbrough in Tennessee. That man, listen closely, he pastored 4 churches at the same time for 30 years. One of the churches he pastored, one of the four, he pastored for 50 years. He pastored for 50 years. If that doesn't get your attention, there was a man named Thomas Dudley in Kentucky. He pastored 4 churches at the same time for 40 years. 4 churches. John Landrum, I remember I mentioned him. He was in the revival from Lewis Rector and spoke. John Landrum, he was a Baptist preacher near Spartanburg, South Carolina. John Landrum pastored 8 churches at once because so many people were getting saved and needed to be taught and hear the preaching of the Word of God. John Landrum pastored 8 churches at the same time. He served the Lord for 50 years, and in his 50 years, he never received more than $600 in 1 year. That would be the equivalent of $10,000 a year now. Okay? That would be the equivalent, you know, if you multiply it. I look at that. I knew that they weren't in it for the money. They wanted to serve God regardless of the circumstances. When they stood before the Lord, they didn't want to be disappointed. They said, I want to quit like men. I want to do it all. I want to make sure when I come to the end of my life, I've done everything I can do. And I don't want left to leave anything undone. That's quitting like a man. It's finishing well. Young men always enjoy the strength. The strength of young men is their glory, you know, the Bible says. As you get older, your strength starts to fade. And then you start valuing what? Tenacity. My dad would tell me when he was working on a car, he would say, son, I could never make money as an auto mechanic. He said, because I'm too meticulous and I'm too slow. But he'd always say this. He said, what I don't have in talent, he would say, I make up for in stick with itiveness. He says, I know how to stick with a job until it gets done. He said, I may move. Look, he used to look, when I got my driver's license, every young person needs to hear this. When I got my driver's license, man, I mean, I was, you know, got one ticket. Yay. You know, here I am. And my dad looked right at me and he said, son, you're quicker than I am. Your reflexes are quicker, but I have so much more experience than you do. And then my dad looked at me and said, and you desperately need my experience. Every young person needs to hear that when they get behind a wheel, right? You may move quicker than I do. You can outrun me, but you better listen to me when I give you advice. My advice will save your life. My dad said, son, I may not be the most talented man in the world. He said, but I've learned in life, you stay with it, and every job is a challenge, and you take every job until you beat it. I did it to its fullest. I didn't leave it undone. I did it to my best ability. Could I use some examples tonight, like John Bunyan, who was in a Bedford jail in England for 12 years for not taking a license from the state. He had a blind daughter that would come to the jail. Daddy, are you coming home? This is before insurance. This is before... Daddy, we're hungry. Daddy, are you going to come home? And John Bunyan would say, if they let me out on the street tomorrow, I'm preaching tomorrow. John Bunyan quit like a man. He finished well. John Clark, the first Baptist pastor in America, he labored for 12 years in England, securing a new charter for Rhode Island so that they could continue to worship and serve the Lord without persecution. John Clark stayed for 12 years. When he finally got the king's signature on the new charter, the parliament looked and said, can the king actually grant religious freedom like that? John Clark, the first Baptist pastor in America, labored 12 years in England. If you're going to quit like a man, then you must determine to be faithful until God calls you home. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. I like thinking of Joshua Vaughn. Sometimes if you're going to determine to serve God, it takes courage. It takes courage. Joshua Vaughn of the Baptist Church in Brandywine, Pennsylvania. He had previously been the sheriff there, and God called Joshua Vaughn to preach. He was standing firm as a Baptist preacher. He made plans to do a baptismal service for his people he had led to Christ in the Brandywine River. The town rowdies and bullies gathered on the day of the baptism, and they said, we're not going to allow any baptism to take place in our town. They gathered across the river. Joshua Vaughn had his people. They came to the edge of the river, got ready for the baptism. Joshua Vaughn took off his coat, rolled up his sleeves, and shouted, I understand you boys have come to disrupt the service, and you're going to try to stop what God's going to do. Whoever of you is man enough to step out here first and try, I'll grind you beneath my heels on the rocks on the bottom of this river. Now, who's first? Now, that's a preacher, amen? The boys started going, you first. They started nudging each other, you first. No, you first. And then it says all the rowdies got up and left. And needless to say, the baptismal service was carried through that day. Amen. Joshua Vaughn, I think, is a good example of someone who in courage quit like a man. The word quit, it means to carry through. It means to do or perform something to the end so that nothing is left to be done. Quit you like men. Finish well. Let me just ask you a question. What are you living for that's eternal? It won't accidentally happen. It takes purpose. Quit you like men. You settle yourself, I'm going to do this if it kills me. And if I die doing this, I died in a good cause. I love the statement, find something worth dying for and then live for it. That's how you live a successful life. Quit you like men. Let's pray. Father, please, I ask that, Lord, you could use the truth tonight. I just need to ask the question with every head bowed and every eye closed. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity when you die?